Welcome to the Monday night service at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church during our revival with Brother Roy Boatwright. We trust this service to be a blessing to your heart. This is Monday night, April 30th, 1984.
Told Tom on the way up here he didn't have to dress up so fancy tonight. But...
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my weary is vain.
Living by faith.
Life blood.
We'd like to stand and sing this song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, page 351. Maybe tomorrow night we might sing Brother White's favorite song, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. We don't want to leave out the third verse, because we couldn't get along without the sisters, right? That third stanza says, Sisters, will you join and help us? We need each other, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So let's stand and sing this song. It's Brother Tom Lee. Speak for us. Last night, someone mentioned about him doing a monologue, and he'll be mentioning that maybe for us, and I'll let him tell you about it.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. Thank you. Are you glad you're here tonight? Raise your little dimpled hand. Now, if you're really glad, put both hands up there. Preacher, look at that. Ooh! We've got a big crowd tonight with all those hands up there. And multiply them by two and then five fingers on each hand. My, look how many praises. Would you like to say a word of praise in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got lots of time tonight. So if you have a word of testimony that you'd like to say to the people here, God has blessed me today, or back there for some time or something. Maybe that you've got a request for prayer for some of your friends or loved ones. Let's have just a word tonight from some of you. Okay? Thank you, thank you. That's a great testimony. Another now. Young or old? Or middle age? Thank you. We'll remember your dear relatives in our prayers. Another. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that the very thing that you mentioned concerning talking to people again and again and praying and yet they don't come discourages us. And we can't afford to be discouraged in the kingdom of our Lord. We must always have that faith. Thank you for that testimony. Another. Amen. Yes. Thank you. All right. Amen. Thank you. How many of you tonight know that the Lord has saved you and you are a Christian? Raise your hand. I don't see any person that does not have his hand up or her hand up. Thank you. You be praying for us for the message tonight. Tomorrow night I'm going to monologue Simon Peter. Now this is quite lengthy, and we'll probably need about 40 minutes Ordinarily, I take 30 to 45 minutes in this monologue. Then I'll have to cut out a lot as I go through the experiences that Peter had with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbors and friends, how many of you will promise now, promise the pastor here, promise the Lord, promise all of us, that you will make a contact in behalf of tomorrow night? Let me see your hands. All right, telephone or any other way. That's great. One contact, and nearly all of you put your hands up. So that's wonderful. We want to have as many people here as possible, not just because of the monologue, but because this is a revival meeting of this great church. And we want people in the community, our own members, to be present, and our community to know that something is going on here in this church. Then probably on Thursday night we may monologue, not promising sure yet, the book of Job. I think probably you would enjoy and appreciate that, because it speaks to us, all of us, in such an emphatic manner. Now I wish you to open your Bible, if you will, please, to the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and put your finger on the 13th verse. Luke 12:13. Okay? You got it? Then one of the company spoke to Jesus, saying, "Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who has made me a judge or a divider over you?" Then Jesus spoke to them, I assume the disciples and others around there, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Then he spake this parable to them. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said, thought within himself, 'What shall I do, seeing that I have no place to bestow my goods, my fruit, my goods? I will pull down my barns," not old barns, it doesn't say anything about old barns, "I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there I will bestow all of my fruit and goods. And then I shall say to myself, thou hast much laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And from who, and who will receive these things that you have accumulated? So is every one that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Now, he didn't say anything about evil, about being evil to lay up treasures. But he said, "and not rich towards God." So this young man came to Jesus and said, "I want you to speak to my brother, because we're having a difficulty in our home. He won't divide all the inheritance with me." Jesus said, "I'm not a petty judge. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And then this beautiful and significant parable that he spoke. I want us to look at some of the things that happened here, if we will, tonight. For instance, if you'll notice very clearly that he thinks altogether in the terms of himself and not in terms of others or the service that he can render to anybody else. It's himself altogether. There were great many lessons here in this passage of Scripture. For this man left out of his life God. And that is exactly the things that's happening to America and around the world. Wars and rumors of wars, and they seem to get heavier and thicker in every part of the world. And we're constantly faced with the possibility of man being able to destroy himself. All of those things comes as a result of man putting aside the most important person in all the world, the Lord God. He is not, man is not, generally speaking, thinking in terms of God and what he can render to God and what God can render through his people. So he left out God. I remember a passage of Scripture in the book of Romans that said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. Now, Paul had spoken about the plan of salvation from the first chapter of Romans through till the 12th chapter. That is a tremendous book on the plan of salvation. But from the 12th chapter on, he talks about the practical side of Christian living. And the first step in our relationship to ourselves and to our fellow man and our God is our relationship to God. For if we do not have the right kind of relationship there, then everything falls apart. For all hinges upon my relationship with God. And so the man thought nothing about God, evidently. He didn't even mention God's name. Now, if you'll notice carefully, the Bible says that the ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. The ground brought forth. The Bible doesn't say anything about the man bringing forth anything. Not at all. But the ground brought forth, and who put the fertility in the ground, and who sent the rain, and who sent the sunshine, and who caused the seed to germinate, and to grow, and to burst forth into fruit. Not the man. Not the man. But God. But God. The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. Whatever happened to us in our lives, we ought to give credit to God, no matter what we may be doing. Not at all. And why don't we put God first in our lives and everything that we do? Well, I don't know. But we don't. Generally speaking, most of us as Christians are not putting God first in everything in our lives. I remember a story that I read some time ago about John D. Rockefeller Sr. He was a Baptist and was a member of the Riverside Baptist Church in New York City. In fact, it was called the John D. Rockefeller Church for a long time. Very beautiful building, and I don't know about the congregation now, how large it is or anything of the sort. John D. Rockefeller at that time was thought to have been, at least, the richest man in the world. He had a pastor by the name of Bates. One day, John D. Rockefeller went to Mr. Bates, a pastor, who himself was a rather wealthy man. That's unusual for a Baptist preacher to be wealthy. And Mr. Rockefeller said to Mr. Bates, I want you to give me all of the money that you have. Everything. And Mr. Bates backed off and said, no, no. He said, you don't really mean that. He said, I want you to give me everything. Everything that you have. Everything. Just lay it in my hand. And Mr. Bates said, I'll give you so much. And then John D. Rockefeller said, no, I won't take it. I want all you got. All you got. And after a week or two, Mr. Bates came to John D. Rockefeller and gave him a check for all that he had. everything that he had in this life. He just handed it into John D. Rockefeller's hand. John D. Rockefeller said to him, "Thank you," and walked out. John D. Rockefeller invested that money in iron ore. In iron ore. And within a few months, Mr. Bates was worth $6 million. "Oh," Mr. Rockefeller said, "oh, $6 million. Give me all you got, all you got. And see how it multiplies in the kingdom of our Lord. I have very little of this worldly goods, of course. Starting out as a Baptist preacher back in North Missouri when in the days of the Depression, many of you, most of you know very little or nothing about it, only what you've heard. But we went through those days and hard ups and hard times and difficulties. No, I haven't. I have not invested. I could not invest much of money because I have nothing to amount to anything at all. But you know what? I consider myself to be more wealthy than Mr. Bates with his $6 million in his hands. Because I remember some time ago when the Lord called me to preach the gospel and called me to surrender to Him. I did, I did, I did. With all my heart and all my soul, I did. And when the Lord said to me, "Go out there and preach the word," I said, "Oh Lord, how can I preach? I'm of a stammering tongue and people can't understand me." He said, "Preach the word. Go out and preach the word and get some kind of a schooling and education." I said, "All right." But where I grew up in Northwest Missouri, the preacher didn't go to school. Oh, once in a while, one off-brand would go to school, you know. He was a freak if he went to school. And so I said, "All right, I'm going to try to learn all that I can about the Word of God and how to present the Word of God." And I went through college and through the seminary. And how did I go? I went in the good old summertime. This is a good old summertime. Up and down the highways, up and down the highways, in snow and ice and sleet and heat and rain. Every week I'd get out and I'd go and come back and go and come back. Long distance, 300 miles to my church. And now, Brother Preacher, I live next to the seminary in Louisville, just two houses of the seminary. And those boys over there, those preacher boys, most of them got pretty fine cars. And they say to me, "Now, Roy, if you can find me a church out here not more than 50 miles away, that'll be all right." And I thumb my way 300 miles one way and 300 miles back. 40,000 miles in every kind of weather. It's a wonder today that I'm alive, all going through all of those things. And yet it's not a wonder because I laid my life on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, "Lord, take me and use me and let me do everything I can. Hardships, let them come if they will. I'll face every one of them." And I faced them, my dear friends. I faced them even to the very last day when I lay on my back in the hospital and when they said, "You've got to have a heart operation." I said, "Well, Lord, I've done my best for you. I'm not depending upon your mercy because of my best that I've done, but I am depending upon your grace and your mercy, which is sufficient for every trial in life." And when I came out from the operation a few days later, I said, "Well, what happened?" And my wife said, "You had 5 bypasses of your heart. 5. I tell you, my dear friend, if we don't put our heart and our soul in the will of God, we are floundering around in the sea, in this sea of life. Floundering around. It takes the will of God. Now, the second thing that he made a mistake on, notice, the second thing, he tried to satisfy all of his needs with worldly things. Look at it, will you? He didn't say, I'll go to church on Sunday. He didn't say, I'll bow down and pray. I want God to fill my heart. No, no, no. He tried to satisfy all of his needs with the worldly things of this life. I will build great barns. I'll store all my goods in the barn. I'll say to my soul, my dear friends, that man was speaking to the wrong person. He spoke to the wrong person at the beginning when he had a problem he faced, overabundance. He's got his ground produced so much. He had a problem. How did he face that problem? He talked to himself. He should have been talking to God. He should have been talking to his poor neighbors, but he didn't. He talked to himself. And then, later on, he talked to himself. When he thought about his riches, he said, I'll say to my soul, you have much laid up now for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he thought he could satisfy. And people can't do that, friends, can't do that. No matter how much, you can't do it. You can't satisfy your spiritual nature with material things. Now, the second verse in that eighth chapter of Romans, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, give yourself unto God, and the second thing is your relationship to the world. Be not conformed to this world, conformed, taken in, but be ye transformed, carried over. Transformed, carried over. Back on the farm years ago, Dad said to my brother and I, don't go around that place down there on the river because that's quicksand. If you walk out on that sand and try to get out and start working, it'll go down and cover you. And we wanted to find out if Dad's telling the truth. So we took our big old collie dog down there and put a rope around his neck, and I got on the other side and my brother got on this side, two ropes. And we pulled the old dog out there in the middle of the quicksand to find out whether Dad's telling the truth. And sure enough, we noticed that as the dog began to flounder around and try to get out and whine, and those big old eyes looking up at both of us at times, and there he was, and he was going down and down and down and down and down. We didn't let him go all the way down. Of course not. We pulled him out. But we found out that Dad was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. And what truth is it? The truth is this. The things of this life will cover you so completely that no one will even know you ever lived. Did you know that? No one will even know you ever lived. You might find some history books or something, your name somewhere, 100 years from now, scarcely anybody know that you ever lived. See? Just like that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't try to think for 1 minute that you can satisfy all of your desire, spiritual needs by the things of this life. And the next thing I want us to notice is this about him. See, first thing, he ignored God. And the second thing, he tried to satisfy his needs with material blessing. And the third thing is, he overlooked all the needs of the people about him. Just think of all the hungry people walking up and down the streets. And no matter where that old boy went that day, had he gone out there in the streets of Jerusalem, he would have found them all around there holding up hands, waiting for money, some help. Of course, there were poor people everywhere, but he didn't think at all about the doing any good. Not at all. Not at all. You know, my dear friends, I am so glad that God has spoken to Baptists all over this land for every year. Now notice, every year there are millions of dollars that goes from our Baptist people through the Foreign Mission Board, a hunger relief, and that money is sent to places where they buy food for the poor. As they buy food for the poor, they witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are millions and millions of dollars that goes every year See, through our foreign mission board, primarily through our foreign mission board, to the needy people in the world. Dad used to tell the story about a dear old lady down the street who was very, very poor. She didn't have anything to eat to amount to anything. And a family up the street here was praying for at the table, bountiful table with lots of food on it. And the father said in his prayer that day, bless sister so-and-so down the street and provide her with sufficient food. And as soon as he got through praying, the little 12-year-old boy got up and started away. Dad said, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going out to the smokehouse and I'm going to get one of those hams hanging up out there. I'm going to take it down there to that old lady you prayed for. Our intentions are so good so many times. Our intentions are good. I want to notice one other thing, and I could go on at length and all of these points, but one other thing I want to note about this man in this parable. He thought only in terms of death somewhere way out there in the future. I can say to my soul, soul, thou hast much laid up for many years. Many years. Way out there, death may come. But not now. Not now. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Being a minister for all these years, I have had the privilege and obligation on many occasions to go to homes where death has struck suddenly, car accidents, suicides, and about everything that you could ever imagine. And I can tell you right now that death is something that is very real, and it's coming. And it's coming at a rapid rate of speed to all of us. We won't be here much longer. It's coming at a rapid rate of speed to all of us. And my friends, when I come to that hour, when the Lord shall take me from this world unto Himself, and I can't tell you all about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's coming, but I can't tell you all about it because I don't know all there is to know about the second coming of the Lord. But I certainly know that He's coming again. And I know that He's promised us a home in heaven. But when I get there, the Lord, I don't expect the Lord to say, well, Roy, Brother Beaudry, you've done pretty good down there on earth. You have preached so many sermons and you have baptized so many people and you have visited in homes and hospitals and all of that. And you've conducted vacation Bible schools and you've talked to thousands of people about salvation. No, I don't expect Him to say a thing like that. My grace is sufficient for you. That is all that I expect Him to say. Let us sing our invitation hymn. What's the number? What? 217. Shall we stand, please? There we sing. Whatever God has laid on your heart tonight to do, you do it. May God bless you. This would be a great night for spiritual awakening among us. We can come right down here to the front. All of us kneel down here and pray. Whatever God says to you, you do it tonight. Thank you. second stanza, will you come as we sing it? God bless you. Pastor, will you take over the service, please?
You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is, to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'd rather someday go to my treasure than to have to leave it. Where is our treasure? This was a rich fool because he left God out. Madeline O'Hara was in Lexington on Easter Sunday, preaching "There Is No God." Her son, Bill Murray, was outside distributing tracts. In fact, he preached Friday night at the Broadway Baptist Church. Brother Hogue Hockensmith, pastor there. There is a God we're going to meet someday. Brother Bolt, right now we're talking as we ate dinner today uptown. We can just look out and see the beautiful trees that are coming out with green leaves and know there is a supreme being. That is no accident. In Genesis it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and day and night, and summer and winter, and cold and heat, shall not cease. We have a God we're going to meet someday. And I trust you're ready to meet Him if you had to meet Him tonight. Let's sing this third stanza, Brother Tom. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. We had supper tonight at Ms. Frost. Ms. Lane helped her get supper tonight. Ms. Frost mentioned about being saved, about the birth.